Okay, so let's get started here. Three lines from the bottom on Ayin Amud Beis. So the Mishnah told us, Kidesh Yada Viragla. The next stage in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol would wash his hands and feet from the Kiyor. Tanu Rabbanan, Uva Aharon El Ohel Moed, Lama Huva, Lahutzi Es HaKafi Es HaMachta. Why did Aaron, why did the Kohen Gadol enter the Kodesh Kadashim? In order to take out the kaf and the machta. The kaf and the machta was the spoon for the ketores, and the machta was the coal pan, the shovel they used to scoop up the coals from the mizbeach. Shekola parsha kula nemra ala seder chutz mi pasuk zeh. All the psukim in parshas acharemos that delineate the seder ha'avodah of Yom Kippur are all written in order, except for this pasuk. What does that mean? Because the pasuk right after this says that the Kohen Gadol offered up his ram and the ram that atoned for the people, but that pasuk is actually chronologically happened prior to the Kohen Gadol re-entering the Kodesh Kadashim to take out the Kaf and the Machta. So my time, why is it, why do we have to say that the psukim are out of order? Amar Rav Chista, Gemirei Chamish Tevilos Ha'asara Kiddushin, Tovel Kohen Gadol Umakadish Bo Bayom, Ve'i Amar Kesidron Ksivei, Lomishka This is an idea that we've spoken about many times in the past in the Masechta, that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would tovel five times and would do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim 10 times. Now, the problem is, if you read the psukim in the chronological order in which they're listed, you only come up with 3 tvilos and 6 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Therefore, you have to say that although the pasuk in which the Kohen Gadol is offering the ram, his ram and the ram of the people is technically written after he re-enters the Kodesh Kadash, that must have happened beforehand, and if that happened beforehand, that would warrant another re-entry and then another exiting of the Kodesh Kadashim, which would therefore require an additional 2 tvilos and 4 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, which would lead us to 5 and 10. So the Gemara asks, Maskif lo Rabbi Zeira, V'dilma mafsik le'bisa'ir hanaseh b'chutz. Why do you have to say that the psukim are out of order? There's a much simpler way to get to that number of 5 and 10. Namely, you can invoke the fact the Kohen Gadol has to go back to the Azara to offer the Seir, the goat of Yom Kippur. Now, that the fact that he's offering the Seir of Yom Kippur is not mentioned anywhere in Parshas Acharemus. It's only mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. So you could say, you could get to the number of 5 and 10 without having to mess around with the psukim in Acharemus. Why can't you suggest that? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Abaye, Amar Kra, V'yatza V'asa Esolosso, Mi'atziya Rishona Ovid Eilo Ve'elham. If you look at Acharemos, and the Pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol exits the Kodesh Kadashim, and then V'asa Esolosso, he brings his Ola. So you see that from the original time, the first time he exits the Kodesh Kadashim, that's when he brings his Ola and the Ola of the people, the ram and the ram of the people, meaning to say that that happens prior to his re-entry in the Kodesh Kadashim to take out the Kaf and the Machta, which therefore means you have to say that the Psukim are out of order. Rava Amar, Amar Kra.
Rabbi, what makes it so important that I know we've spoken about this tons of times.
Yeah.
Tens of times.
Okay.
Why is it so imperative that he does, you know, five...
That's the din. The Gemara quotes us already 3-4 times in the Masechta. That's a halacha. The Gemara says, Gemir, we have a tradition. That's what, I don't know. There's a tradition that he does 5 tefillos. So now we have to make that fit into all the psukim. That's what the Gemara is trying to do. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Amar Kra, Ufashatis Bigdei Habad, She'ein Tamad Lomar Asher Lavash, Klumad Amposhid Elamash Lovish, Elamal Tamad Lomar Asher Lavash, Shelavash Kvar. Rava has a different source for the same idea, namely for the idea that the ram that the Kohen Gadol offered on his behalf and behalf of the people must have been offered prior to his re-entry to the Kodesh Kadashim. Since the Pasuk says in Acharemos, Ufashatis Bigdei Habad Asher Lavash, Kohen Gadol took off the linen garments that he was wearing. So Rava says the phrase Asher Lavash is superfluous. You can only take off something that you were originally wearing. What do you see from the words Asher Lavash? Says the Gemara, says Rava, Shelavash Kvar, he was already wearing them before. Meaning to say, this is not his first time exiting or entering the Kodesh Kadashim. So you see that he offered the ram prior to his re-entry for the Kaf and the Machta. Again, it's the same concept, just from a different source. So the Gemara asks again, Maskifla Rava Barav Shiva, the same question we asked before. Instead of messing around with the psukim and acharemos, just say that the additional tevilos and kiddush yadayim v'raglayim are accounted for based on the seir, based on the karban of Yom Kippur that's only mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. So it says the Gemara, no. Again, since it says v'yatza v'yasa ola so, the implication is that he already went into the Kodesh Kadashim before. Now he's exiting to offer his ram, and then he's going to re-enter later to go take out the kaf and the machta. Asks the Gemara, V'chala parsha kula nemra la seder. Does this mean to say that all the other psukim, with that one exception that we just mentioned, and everything else in Acharemos is in chronological order? V'hakra yiksi ve'eis chelev hachatas yaktira mizbecha, v'hadar ve'eis parachatas ve'eis seir hachatas, v'ilu anan tenan haroas kohen gadol kishuhu kore, eno roa parvis so'ir hanisrafin, v'ilu emurechatas basar hachi makter lehu. Says the Gemara that there's already a problem, in other words, there's a further problem with the order of the avoda, which is as follows. The pasuk first tells us in Acharemos that the fat of the chatos is offered on the mizbech. Then the psukim talk about the fact that the par and the seir were burnt. The problem is the Mishnah told us a few daf ago that if a person goes and sees the Kohen Gadol doing the Kriyas Satorah from Acharemos, then you're not able to see the par and the seir being burnt. And the Mishnah explicitly said that the offerings of the fats of the carbon chatos was done after that. So the psukim in Acharemos list the burning of the fats of the chatos before the burning of the par and the seir, and yet the Mishnah told us explicitly that that happened later. So you see clearly that there's another issue with the order in the psukim and Acharemos, to which the Gemara says, you're right, Ema chutz mi pasuk ze ve'elach. What the Gemara meant to say was that from that pasuk that we quoted earlier, with the where we mentioned that there's an issue in terms of the order about the Kohen Gadol re-entering the Kodesh Kodeshim to take out the kaf and the machta and offering the rams, from that pasuk and onwards, the order is completely jumbled. The order is completely thrown into disarray. It's not just that one pasuk; it's everything from that pasuk and onwards. So the Gemara asks, "My chaz is the mishabash krei shabesh masnisa. So why are we rearranging the psukim? Why not rearrange the Mishnah?" In other words, the reason that the Gemara was, the thing that forced the Gemara's hand to say that all these psukim are out of order is because the Mishnah says that the avoda was done in the opposite fashion. Okay, well, I would have said that the psukim presumably have more authority than a Mishnah does. I would say if the Mishnah seems to be saying the psukim are out of order, I would say if anything that the psukim hold more weight. So the Gemara says no. Amar Abaye, Amar Krav, Vaham Shaleach, Vahasorif, Ma Mishaleach Demei Karav, Sorif Demei Karav. The pasuk compares the person whose job it is to take the goat to Azazel to the guy whose job it is to burn the par in the seir on Yom Kippur. So just as the guy, the Ish Et, who's taking the seir to Azazel, that's being done prior to these avodos, prior to the Kohen Gadol offering the fats of the carbon on the Mizbeach, so to the Kohen who's burning the pyre in the Seir, that must also happen prior to the Kohen offering the fats on the Mizbeach. To which the Gemara says, no, Adrabba, Masorif Tahashtav Mishalech Tahashtav. If anything, I would say the opposite. Just as the guy burning the fats, burning the pyre in the Seir, maybe that happens after the fats were offered. Perhaps the Ish Et who takes the Seir Lazazel should also happen later. The Gemara says, no, Viha Mishalech Demeikara Mashma, the superfluous Vav, and the word Viha Mishalech teaches me that that happened initially, that happened before him. Then the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Amar Kra, Ya Amar Chai, An Masa Yehi Zakuk Lamur Chai, At Shas Kapara. Again, another idea that we've rehashed already several times in this Masechta, which is that the Seir La'azazel has to be alive until the Matan Damim, until the applications of blood of the Seir La'Hashem are done. In other words, that's when the Kapara of the Seir La'Hashem is really effectuated, and at that point, the Seir no longer has to be alive. That was a whole discussion we had last week about what happens if the Seir La'azazel die naturally before it was pushed off the cliff. So as long as that happened after the Matan Damim of the Seir La'Hashem, we said, B'dieva, that would be okay. Okay, and the Gemara says, "Asi mishalech mitzo b'shuk lechoin gadol omer lo ishi koin gadol asinu shlichuscha mitzo beveso omer lo mechai chayim asinu shlichuscha." So the day after Yom Kippur, the Ish Et would go and find the Kohen Gadol, and depending on where he found him, he would make a certain declaration. If he found him out in the marketplaces, he would say, "We've done your will. We've done your job, Kohen Gadol." If he found him in his house where there weren't a lot of people around, he would say, "We've done the will of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We've done the will of the Mechaicha, and the one who gives life." Amar Rabba, ki miftere Rabbana mehadadi b'fum pedisa, amre hachi, Mechaichaim yitin lochachayim aruchim betovim u'misukanim. When rabbis would take leave of one another in Pum Pedisa, they would basically give each other a bracha that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you long, happy, happy, healthy years. The Gemara cites a pasuk from Tehillim. Yeah.
I heard Wazir, so we say, that was dying then.
Yeah, we actually briefly mentioned that last week, that the Marsha talks about this idea that one of the issues, if you remember, we mentioned this last week, that there's an issue, the Gemara had a shaila about whether if the Ish Et gets sick, can you swap him with another person? So the Marsha says that one of those issues is because the Ish Et is designated to die that year, that could potentially be problematic. Okay. Mechai Chaim, not Mechai Mesa. It says Mechai Chaim. Yeah, because he wanted life. Right.
To switch his,
yeah, correct. Okay, so the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Esalich lifnei Hashem baritzos haChayim." Right. We say this in Hallel. Right. I'm going to walk in front before Hashem in the land of the living. Amar Rav Yehuda zemakum shivakim. That refers to marketplaces. Marketplaces are where you get your food, where you get your sustenance. Then it says, "Mishle ki orachamim ushnos chayim b'shalom yosifulach." For length of days and years of life and peace, I'm going to add on to you. So asks the Gemara, "V'chi yeshanim shalchayim yeshanim sheinu shalchayim." Why does the pasuk in Mishle say shnos chayim, years of life? What does that mean? In other words, when you're alive, you're alive. There's no years that are not of life. Amar Rabbi Elazar ilu shnos shaladam hamis hapchos olam yirel etovet. A metaphor for a person's fortune turning from bad to good. So let's say when a person was younger, they had a lot of misfortune, whether financially or emotionally or whatever. So when they get older, that could potentially change. Then the Gemara has another pasuk from Mishlei, Alechem Ishim Ekra, which literally means, to you men I will call. So what does that mean? Amar Rabbi Brechia, Elu Talmidei Chachamim Shedomen Lenashim Va'osen Gvura Ka'anashim. So one interpretation is that it's a reference to Talmidei Chachamim, who in one sense are like women. What does that mean? They're like women in terms of their physical strength. They're not very strong. They're more humble, but on the other hand, they're like men in terms of strength in their Talmud Torah, that they're more motivated to learn. Gemara cites the same pasuk from Mishlei, but uses in a different way. Let's say a person wants to pour libations of wine on the mizbeach, but obviously today you can't do that. There's no mizbeach anymore. So the way to do that, says the Gemara, is to fill the throats of Talmidei Chacham with wine, because that same pasuk in Mishlei with the word ishim, which before we interpreted to mean men, can also be derived from the word ishe, which usually is a reference to a fire offering on the mizbeach. So again, if you fill the mouths of Talmidei Chacham with wine, that's ki'ilu like you're pouring wine on the mizbeach. V'amar Rabbi Brachia, imroa adam shetora posekes mizaro, yisa baz talmid chacham, shene'emar im yaskin ba'aret sharsha uve'afar yamus gizo, ne'reach mayim yafriach v'asaka tzir kimonata. If a person sees that Torah is being cut away from his family, let's say he sees his children, his grandchildren, whatever it is, are not staying on the path of Torah, so what you should do is that the person should marry the daughter of a talmid chacham. How does that help? The Gemara cites a pasuk from Iyov that basically says that if you see the trunk of your tree, your ancestry, or your descendants rather, that are shriveling up, so you have to replant and you have to refurbish by planting with the waters of Torah. Okay. Then we said, V'yom tov ha'yosa lo'ohavav. We said when the Kohen Gadol exited the Kodesh Kadashim and he wasn't harmed, they made a yantif for him. Tanu Rabbanan. So one time the Kohen Gadol, he exited the Kodesh Kodashim, he was fine, Baruch Hashem, he came out well, and everyone was following him to give honor, to give respect to the Kohen Gadol. But they saw Shmaya Vavtalion were two of the greatest Tanoim there, as we'll see in a second, they were descendants of Gerim. So once all the people saw them, they started following Shmaya Vavtalion, and they left the Kohen Gadol kind of hanging dry in the street. So then Shmaya Vatalion went to go say Tzeischem L'shalom to the Kohen Gadol before they left. So the Kohen Gadol was very upset. He felt slighted that all the people just left him and went to go follow Shmaya Vatalion. So what did he say to them? Yaisun b'nei amamin l'shalom. He was kind of jabbing at them. He said, the people who descend from non-Jews, the converts, you should go in peace. He was having a jab at their ancestry. So Amr Lit, so they said back to him, Yaisun b'nei amamin l'shalom da avdin uvda da aron v'lo yaisei bar aron l'shalom da lo avdin uvda da aron. Better than us that we come from non-Jews, but at least we're acting like Aaron. At least we're acting like the Kohen Gadol is supposed to act. You, who are actually a descendant of Aaron, you're violating the Isser of Onaz Devarim as we know from the Gemara Bava Metzia. You're not allowed to talk about people's ancestry and where they came from. So you who actually come from Aaron are not acting in the proper manner. Okay. The Mishnah says Kohen Gadol Mishamish Bishmona Kalim Behahedro Barba Bixonas from Michnasayim Umitznefes Vavne Mosif Alav Kohen Gadol Choshen Veifod Il Vitzitz Be'elu Nishalin Be'urim Vesumin Ve'ein Nishalin El Lamel. Very famous Ulmisha Tzibur Tzarekbo. The Mishnah tells us that all Kohanim have to serve with at least the basic four begadim, namely the ksones, which is like the tunic, the mechnasayim are the pants, the mitznefes is the turban, and the avnit is the belt. And the Kohen Gadol has an additional four begadim, the choshen and the ephod, which is the breastplate and the ephod where the breastplate was held, and the me'il, the coat, and the tzitz, which is like the front plate that was put on his forehead. The Mishnah tells us that if the people wanted to inquire require of the Urim V'tumim, the Kohen Gadol had to be, you know, wearing all of the eight begadim. But the Mishnah says only very specific people were allowed to inquire of the Urim V'tumim. The king, the Avdezdin, and someone that was required or that was needed by the Tzibur. Tanu Rabbanan, Dvarim Shenemar Bahen Shesh, Chutan Kafel Shisha, Mashzar Shmona, Me'il Shneimasar, Paroches Esrim Barba, Choshen Ve'ifod Esrim Ushmona. So the Gemara basically tells us that for each and every item that was worn, and each of the big dikahuna, there were different numbers of threads that were used to weave those begadim. So anytime the Torah uses the word sheish, which we'll see as we go on in the Gemara, really means linen, but sheish means that there were really six threads that were used in weaving that particular garment. Whenever you see the word mashzar, which literally means twined thread, that means that it was folded over eight times. By the me'il, it was 12, the paroch has 24, and the choshen and ephod 28. So the Gemara explains, how do we know that for anything made of linen, that sheish, that that you had to have six threads that were woven over? To Amar Kra, but this is a pasuk from Parshas Pekude. Vayasu es hakusones sheish ve'esam etznefa sheish ve'es pareha mikbaos sheish ve'es michnasei abad sheish mashzar. So the Torah mentions the word sheish, linen, five times in the context of these various begadim. So the Gemara says chamisha kreiksim. It says the word sheish five times. Chad legufe dekitna nihavu, one to teach you that they have to be made of linen. V'chad she yehichut and kafel shisha, the second to teach me that it has to be made of six threads folded over six times. V'chad she yehu shezurin, the third mention to teach me that it's twined. V'chad the she'ar begadim shelo nemar bahen sheish, the fourth mention is for the other garments where the Torah does not explicitly use the word sheish, but nonetheless they still must be made of linen. And then finally v'chad va'akev, the fifth one is to teach me that if it doesn't have these six threads, that it's ma'akev even b'diavet. So the Gemara asks, my mashma the high sheish kitna, how do we know that the word sheish means linen? Amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina, de Amar Krabad, Davar Ha'olam and Akarka Bad Bad. When the Torah talks about the garments of the Kohen Gadol, it uses the word Bad, right? Bad Bivadi Hiya. So the word Bad refers to something which grows as a single stalk out of the ground, which is an allusion to flax, which is the plant that's used to make linen. So asks the Gemara Ve'ema Imra. Why does that have to mean flax? Why can't it mean wool? Wool also grows in that same fashion. So the Gemara says, no, Imra if Tzule Miftzala, because wool splits, the fibers of wool split as they grow, so it's not the same as flax. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Kidna nami of tzule mifzel. Flax also does that. The Gemara says, no. Kidna agav lakuse mifzel. Flax only splits when you beat it, whereas wool splits naturally. Therefore, the Gemara says, the pasuk must be an allusion to linen or to flax. Then the Gemara says, Ravina amar mehacha, pa'arei fishtim yehua rosham, michnasei fishtim yehua masnaem. Ravina has a more explicit source, a pasuk from Yecheskel that explicitly identifies these begadim as being made of linen. It says the word pishtim. We know that pishtim means flax and linen. So it says explicitly that the turban on their head and the pants of the Kohen Gadol wore were made out of linen. So the Gemara says, Amr lei, so I'm sorry, the Gemara says, Amr lei, Ravashi, hamikami da'asi Yecheskel man amra. This is a very famous kind of question the Gemara asks in several places. So before Yecheskel came along, how do we know that the garments were made out of linen? In other words, what the Gemara is basically saying is, if the original source that the Big Day Kahuna were made of linen comes from Yecheskel, so what was happening for the thousands of years prior to Yecheskel? So the Gemara says, no. The lita meich had amar chisa davar zemitoras Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamanu midivri Yecheskel ben Buzi lamanu kol ben nechar erali ve'erol basar lo yavo al mikdashi habikami daase Yecheskel man amra. Rav Chista throws the question back at the Gemara. Rav Chista says there's another din that is only derived seemingly from Yecheskel, where the pasuk says that a person who's an arel, a person who doesn't have a bris milah, is not allowed to enter the mikdash. Strangely enough, that din does not appear anywhere in Chumash. There are many halachos of arelim that do appear in Chumash, like, for example, that an arel can't eat a carbon Pesach, but the fact that an arel is not allowed to enter the mikdash first appears in Yecheskel. So Rav Chista says, what? You're going to tell me that for the thousands of years prior to Yecheskel, there were arelim walking in and out of the mikdash? That's crazy. So the Gemara says, you're right. El Gemara Gemiri Lav Asi Yecheskel Asmachakra, Hachanami Gemara Gemiri Lav Asi Yecheskel Asmachakra. Again, a very famous idea. The Gemara says, it's not to say that Yecheskel invented this halacha. This halacha always existed, but Yecheskel was the first person to basically put it in writing. That's what the Gemara basically says. Like, he was the first person to put pen to paper and say, this is the source for the idea. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Mashzar Shmona Menola. How do we know that the word Mashzar, which literally means twined, means eight threads? Dechsiv, Ayasu al Shulea Me'il Rimonet Chelas Fargaman Vesolas Shanim Mashzar. Again, in Parshas Pekude, when the Torah is describing the Big Day Kahuna, it says that on the hem of the Me'il of the coat, there was these pomegranate shapes that that were made out of three different colors, of tchilas, of turquoise, of purple, and of crimson. So the Gemara, and the pasuk says the word mashzar. So the Gemara says, v'yalif mashzar, mashzar mi paruchas. We derive a gzeirah shava from the word mashzar, from the paruchas. Ma'ala halon esrim barba, v'kan esrim barba. The hava kol chad v'chad tamid. As we said earlier in the Gemara, the paruchas was made up of 24 threads. Since there were three colors on the pomegranate with a total of 24 threads, that means each one had eight threads. So the Gemara asks, v'neilaf michoshin ve'efot. Ma'ala halon esrim mushmona, v'kan esrim mushmona. The Gemara says, okay, but why do we have to derive the word mashzar from the paruchas? The Torah also uses the word mashzar in the context of the choshen and the ephod. And we said earlier in the Gemara, the choshen and the ephod were made up of 28 threads. Why don't we derive that to the case of the pomegranate on the bottom of the mi'yo? The Gemara says, no. Done in Davar Shalom Nemar Bozav, Midavar Shalom Nemar Bozav, La'afuke Choshen Ve'efod Shenemar Bahenzav. The Gemara says the Choshen and Ephod were different because the Torah says they have to be made of gold. Gold was not a material in the Paroches, nor was it a material on the Rimonim, on the pomegranates on the bottom of the Me'il. So asks the Gemara, Adarabba, done in Beged, Mibeged, La'afuke Paroches To'olu. So although it's true that only the Choshen and the Ephod have gold on it, but on the other hand, you could argue the Choshen and the Ephod are more similar in a way to the Me'il because they're all begadim. Whereas the paroches is not really a beged. So the Gemara says maybe that should have been the point of comparison, and there really should have been a total of 28 threads on the pomegranates on the bottom of the me'il. So the Gemara says, you're right. Eladon in me'avnet, v'don in beged v'davar shalona marbozov, mi'beged v'davar shalona marbozov, v'ein don in davar she'in bozov, mi'davar she'yesh bozov. The Gemara says, really, the comparison is derived from the avnet, the belt, because the avnet was a beged, and it also did not contain gold. So therefore, the Gemara says, that's a more accurate point of comparison. That's one source. Then the Gemara says, Rav Mari Amar, ta'asenu ksev, ta'asenu lazev, lo la'acher. Then Rav Mari quotes a pasuk from Parshas Tetzaveh, right, where the pasuk describes the makeup of the choshen and the ephod, and it uses the word ta'asenu, meaning to say that it's dafka the choshen and ephod that are made with the 28 threads, implying that none of the other begadim are made that way. Rav Ashi Amar, the asisa ksev, sheyehu kol asios shavos. Rav Ashi says that all of the different acts that you do when making the big day kahuna, they have to be even, they have to be uniform. So what does that mean practically? V'hechi navid, navid tlasa da asara havel hu tlasin. So in other words, if you're going to argue that the me'il, the rimonim, had really 28 threads instead of a total of 24, you're never going to have a number that's divisible by 3, because as we just said, there are three colors of the rimonim, right? There was the blue, the purple, and the crimson. So if it's 28, you're never going to get an even number. If you're going to do, you know, 3, you know 10 that of 3, that's going to be 30. Navid trade tisha b'chad da asara amar krav yasisa sheyehu kol asios of Shabbos. If you're going to do, you know, let's say 10, 10 and 8, so then that's not going to be an even split either. So therefore, the Gemara says you have to have a total of 24 threads. Okay. Then we said, Me'il Shnei Masar Menal. How do we know that the Me'il, that the coat, has to be made of 12 threads? Dichsev, the Asisas Me'il Ha'ifod Klil Techelas. The Parashas Tetzav, the Torah says that the Me'il was made of Techelas. V'yol of Techelas, Techelas mi Paroches. Ma'la halon Shishav Kanchish, we derive from the Paroches. Just as there was 6 threads, because again, remember, the paruchas had a total of 24 threads. Since there were 4 colors on the paruchas, each one had 6 threads. So just as the tchilas on the paruchas was 6, so too over here by the me'il, there was also 6 threads. So ask the Gemara, v'neilaf mishula v'rimonav, ma'lalan shmonav kan shmona, why don't we derive from the pomegranates and the hem on the bottom of the me'il, that just as there was 8, because again, remember, there, the pomegranates only had 3 colors, so that's 24 divided by 8 is going to be 3. So therefore, why don't we say that just as over there, there was 8 threads, so too over here by the me'il, there should also be 8. So the Gemara says, no, done in kli mi kli, they ain't done in kli mi tachshed kli, because we'd rather derive one kli from another, meaning to say the me'il, let's say in other words, deriving the me'il from the ephod, as opposed to the rimonim, which are just a tachshed, those are just an ornament, that's not the kli itself. So asks the Gemara, Adarabba, done in gufo mi gufo, they ain't done in gufo me'alma. The Gemara says, at least the rimonim are on the me'il itself. So yes, it's true that it's just an ornament, but it's part of the same beged. So I would have argued, makes more sense to derive from the thing that's on the beged, as opposed to running to something like the choshen, which is not even on the same garment. So the Gemara says, no, hainu da'amrina l'shar begadim shalo nemar bahen sheish. That's exactly why the Gemara told us earlier, that for other garments, so the Torah doesn't explicitly mention linen, it's ke'ilu, it does say it. So therefore, since the Torah Ke'ilu does mention sheish, does mention linen, therefore is going to have the same status. Then the Gemara says, Paroches Esrim Ba'arba, Dalad Deshita Shita, Lodina Velodina. The fact that the Paroches, again, as we mentioned this already several times, the Paroches has a total of 24 threads. The breakdown is going to be 6. In other words, again, we said there are 4 colors on the Paroches. Each of those colors has 6 threads. Brez, the Gemara says about that, Lodina Velodina. There's no judge and there's no judgment. That's like a phrase that just means that no one disputes this. Everyone agrees. It's clear as day that the four colors of the paruchas all have six threads each. And then finally, the Gemara says, Choshen Ve'ifod Esher Mushua Menon. The last part we mentioned was the Choshen and the Ifod at 28 threads. What's the source for that? Tichsev, the Asisa Choshen Mishpat Ma'aseh Choshev, Kama'aseh Ifod Ta'asenu, Zahav Tchilis Far Gaman V'solah Shani V'shesh Mashar. That's a pasuk from Parashas Tetzaveh, where the pasuk again describes the begadim. It says the Choshen was Ma'aseh Choshev. It was this creative work, and it was made like the Ifod, and it lists all the colors. So the Gemara says, Arba Deshita Shita Esrin V'arba. So you have, of the four colors that are made of six threads, that's 24, plus Zahav Arba, Ha'esnu Tumani, plus gold, which had only four threads, that gives you a total of 28. So asks the Gemara, Ve'ema Zahav Nam Yishisha, well, maybe the gold is also six threads? No, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Amar Kra, the Kitzit Psilim, Psil Psilim Hare Kandal. In Parashas Pekudei, the Torah says, when it talks about beating out the gold that was used to make the gold in the Choshen and the Ephod, the Torah says, Ve'kitzit Psilim, that they used to hammer out these cords. The word Psilim is in the plural. So from the fact that it's written in the plural, you see from here the word psil would have implied two. Then psilim implies four. So you see from the pasuk in Pekudei that there are really only four threads of gold and not six. Rav Ashi Amar Amar Kra La Asos Pesocha Tchilas Uvsocha Argaman. So Hechinav, the pasuk says you have to incorporate the gold into the turquoise and the purple of the Choshen and the Ephod. So the Gemara says, how are you supposed to do that? Navid Arba Ditre Tre Havaluhu Tmani. If you're going to do four of two threads each, that's only going to be eight. Navid Tre Ditre Tre Utre Dechad Chad V'Asisa. So you call Asios Shavos. So on the other hand, if you're going to do two that are two threads and two that are only one thread, you're not going to have a uniform number. And as we pointed out before, you have to have an even uniform number when apportioning the threads throughout the garment. Okay.